This is running.
Tell me when you're ready, Bart. Bart's in charge, at least for a little bit. Oh man, I didn't put my agenda in order. All these notes.
And we're recording, so we're good to go. Or, hold on, anyway.
No, that's fine, because I did not realize I jacked something up here myself. There we go. You're having it the hell out of that.
There we go. Okay.
Okay, are we ready, Mr. Olson?
Yes.
Okay, welcome everyone, good evening. We are going to call the Tuesday, July 28th City Council meeting for the United City of Yorkville to order, and we'll start with the pledge. I guess I'm supposed to bang the gavel first.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
Under God, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you all very much. And I want to nod the cap, even though I have a cap on, tip the cap to Ken Koch again. Ken, I rode my bike, but I don't have a green mask on. That one broke, I got to fix it. So I got one of these handy dandy blue ones. And if you're short of those, I know where you get some besides City Hall. Anyway, we will go ahead and we have to have roll call, don't we? Ms. Lisa.
Oak?
Here.
Chancia?
Here.
Elshewski? Here. Quatcha?
Here.
Bunkhauser?
Here.
Breeders is absent?
Yes.
Shiverlis?
Here.
Peterson?
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Very good. And Mr. Peterson, thank you for the yes. I appreciate you remembering that. You get the first star for the day. Okay, so we have a quorum. The only amendment I have to the agenda, let me try this. The only amendment I have to the agenda, I know it's hard to hear through these masks, is item, under Public Works, item 5, and it's really not, I guess, an amendment, but just an FYI. Items A and B, the East Alley Infrastructure Project and the Elderman Road, there'll be no vote today. We'll have discussion, but we need to actually have resolutions for the next meeting. Isn't that correct? Did I state that properly? Thank you. Okay, so are there any changes anyone would like to make to the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor of the agenda, signify by yes.
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 Opposed by no.
You have to do roll call votes, so don't ask for
your vote. Oh, shoot.
No, because yes. There are no amendments, so there was no motion.
Okay. So strike that, because two things the attorney reminded me of. One is all votes need to be roll call, and two is I forgot to declare that the reason we're doing this Zoom meeting is to keep social distancing and less than 10 people in this room. We have uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, five people here. So that is the reason we are doing this, and that is allowed under the governor's executive order number 72 or whatever number it is. Okay, so we'll scratch the amendment to the agenda, and now we will go to one of my highlights, not mine, but one of the highlights of the meeting. We have a presentation by Advanced Disposal. Is somebody actually doing this, Bart?
Yes, Bob Pfister is attending remotely. I'm going to share the PowerPoint here in just a second. It should pop up on everybody's screen, and then Bob is going to take it away.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for joining us. I just want to say I appreciate this because questions my wife and I have, discussions. You know, think about this. Those of you who are young probably don't remember this. But 30 years ago when I was, 40 years ago when I was a kid, I would have never thought about recycling. And now we're discussing what types of plastic are recyclable and can you recycle a banana peel or not. Anyway, I appreciate you giving us this little presentation. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. And as a way of introduction, my name is Bob Pfister. I'm the Municipal Marketing Manager for Advanced Disposal. A little bit of my history, I've been in the industry for 40 years. I started back in January of 81. I've been doing municipal marketing for about the last 15. I just enjoy it immensely, it's one of my favorites. I love giving presentations like this. The world has changed, so we now do a lot of Zoom presentations. So I hope my volume is good, and I hope you can all hear me. So with that, I'd like to just start with an acquisition update. As many of you may be aware, Advanced Disposal was presented with a unsolicited acquisition offer by Waste Management back in April of 19. It was supposed to take effect the first quarter of 2020, but with the onset of COVID-19, it was pushed back, and it's slated now to close by the end of the third quarter, which is September 30th. So we anticipate that Advanced Disposal will be purchased by Waste Management by that time. I have been told that I will be a Waste Management employee when that transition does take place. So I will still be here when that happens, and that will help greatly with the transition from Advanced to Waste Management when it comes to the our municipalities that we service. The other update I'd like to give you is the update on the COVID-19 response that we have at Advanced Disposal. Since the onset in March, we have taken extraordinary measures to make sure that our employees are safe, that they're social distanced from each other, so that we don't have a driver come into the office. I'm sorry?
I didn't hear anyone.
Okay, I'm sorry, somebody. I'll continue then. So we have taken great measures to social distance our drivers, to make sure that they're not coming in contact with each other, so that if one of our drivers were to pick up COVID-19, that they wouldn't pass it along to our other workforce. It's worked very, very well. We have not let up on any of our procedures or any of our protocols. We are continuing to be as diligent as ever so that we can make sure that our drivers are on the street and picking up and collecting our refuse, recycling, and yard waste from our residential customers. So with that, I'd like to go through the recycling collection process, which is the next slide. And it's a very simple process. The recycling materials are contained in a 65-gallon recycling cart. Your residents put it at the curb, and it's collected once a week. We collect the recycling separate from the refuse. It goes back to our transfer station in Batavia, where we commingle it with the other single-stream recycling, and we take it to Lakeshore Recycling, where it's processed. All the materials that we had that we collect at the curb, single stream, is completely separate from the garbage. It always remains separate from the garbage, and it goes to a processor for end use, to the end use markets. I always like to put this slide in because it's just a very quick, very simple way to place carts at the curb. We want the opening toward the street, as you can see in slide 2. And then we always like to have the carts at least 3 feet away from any sign or any parked car. We do use automated front loaders, and it's very quick, and it helps with our workers' comp so the drivers don't have to get out. But if they're 3 feet away from mailboxes and cars, then our driver doesn't have to get out and reposition the cart. And with the positioning of the cart, We ask that the lids, the opening is toward the street, so when it's dumped, we have less potential of recycling blowing out and blowing on the street. So that's the purpose of those slides right now. What I wanted to do was give you a little bit of background on the refuse and recycling generation rates that you've seen in Yorkville over the last few years. This graph shows the refuse generation beginning January of 2017 all the way up until June of 2020. And I did make it and put a trend line in there so that you can see the trend that you're seeing on your refuge generation, which is real positive. You have a downward trend, and that's what we like to see. But you will notice that in the last 4 months, we have seen an uptick in the refuge generation, and that has to do with the COVID-19, and we have more people staying at home, and it was a stay-at-home order, and so we're seeing that. We normally see a drop in the summer with people going on vacation, but we're seeing more staycations happening, so we don't see a lot of people traveling. But that's a very, very nice trend line that you see there for the refuse over the last 3.5 years. When we look at the recycling generation rate, you can see that it's trending upward, and that's another very good sign. And I don't want you to be discouraged by this, because there's been a few things that have been happening for the last 3.5 years that don't make this line go up as much as you would think it would. And that's, we don't see a lot of newspaper anymore. Most people are reading their magazines, their newspapers online, and newspapers were a big part of it 15 or 20 years ago, even 5 years ago. But we're just seeing more people reading them online, so there's not that much paper that goes into the recycling. The other thing that we see a lot more of is plastic, the plastic bottles, and those are much lighter than the glass. So all of our reporting for recycling at the processing facilities and the reports is all done on a tonnage basis. But when you look at the volumes are increasing, and that's really, really good. So you have a really nice recycling generation trend line here too. So when we look at what does that mean, this is a graph that shows the pounds per household per week, which means what's the average that an average family in Yorkville puts out. And as you can see, they're putting out less garbage and more recycling. What the average of the refuse generation, an average family in Yorkville puts out about 20.5 pounds of garbage per week. And that's over the last 3.5 years. They also put out 14.5 pounds of recycling a week, which is very good. That's on the high, probably 75% percentile of what we see for the recycling, which is really, really good. The other thing is the contamination rate that we're seeing is starting to drop. Back in 2008, contamination was in the 8 or 9% range, and if you remember, we had bins at that time, so our drivers were actually getting out and sorting the material, and they'd leave the contaminated, the non-recyclables at the curb. Now, with the automated 55-gallon carts, they do that at the processing facility, so we've seen an increase, but it is going down right now, and we like to see that. So this is another very, very good sign. Yorkville recycles quite a bit. They're producing less garbage, which is a great, great trend to be doing. So just a couple things, and I'll go through these quickly. You know, we always want to recycle, right? The industry, we call it wish recycling or wish cycling, and it's people think that it's recyclable, so they put it in the cart, and it's really not. A curbside collection program is for household containers, household paper and cardboard. It's not for things in the garage, and it's meant for cans, bottles, plastic jugs, and so forth. So we have a real easy slide here that just shows the acceptable items in a curbside program. And then if we go to the next one, these are some of the common recycling mistakes, and I'm just going to pick out a couple of them. Plastic grocery bags, they're a no-no, and the reason for that is they get tangled up in the machinery at the processing facility. So every 3 or 4 hours, they have to actually stop the processing and go and cut off the plastic bags from around all the gears and whatnot. So they really do not want plastic bags. Polystyrene has always been a no-no in this. Shredded paper, it sounds like, you know, why would that not be recyclable? What happens is when it goes into the processing facility, the shredded shredded paper falls through the initial shredder and it gets tied up in the machine. When we talk about household glass, we're talking about glass from windows and such. And you can see the rest of it. The one thing I will point out is one of the top 10 contaminants we see in recycling is baby diapers. For one reason or another, people like to try to recycle baby diapers, and they do that. One other thing that I will say here is that we just put in a law in Illinois, and we backed the law to make sure that hypodermic needles don't go into the recycling, because it really is a hazard for those workers on the sorting lines at the recycling facility. So we put in a law for the hypodermic needles. They need to go in the garbage if they're going to be thrown out. The worst contaminants, anything that has food or liquids, pizza boxes because they're of the pizza that's in there, donut boxes because of the sugar, plastic bags. And the big one on this list is batteries. Batteries, when they get thrown into recycling, they start fires in the recycling bin. And when the plastic starts, it goes up very, very quickly and it's very, very hot. One thing I will add to this common recycling mistakes, and it's sort of brand new, is that any masks or any gloves that people are disposing of now should go in the garbage and not recycling. So masks and gloves that people are wearing because of the COVID-19 crisis should be put in the refuse. So I hope that, I know I went through very, very quickly because I know you have a full agenda. But I'd like to open it up to questions. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them if I can. If I can't, I'll certainly get you the answer and get it back to Bart and Aaron so that we can get the answer to you. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. I know there'll be several questions. And I see Mr. Peterson's hand first, so please go ahead.
This might be a question for Aaron or whoever, but are we going to have this on social media so that everybody can see that, I'm assuming?
So Bob has been very kind to share with me some social media clips. I shared one today earlier on the Yorkville Facebook page about rinsing glass and plastic containers. So the bites that he gave us today, I have in JPEG form, so I will be putting out those over the next few months, just as friendly reminders. And all of the information is updated on our website as well.
Perfect, thank you. I know there's a lot of things in there that many of us probably didn't know, so awesome. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Other questions for people out, aldermen, out in Zoom land? We'll do the alderman in Zoom land first. Mr. Trans here, you have three? Is that what you raised your hand? Three questions? One, okay.
Not too long ago, I recall receiving some kind of notice indicating that if we reduced our size of our garbage receptacle, it would result in a reduction of our garbage rates. But it also required a reduction in the size of the recycling receptacle. So I don't know if there's a way that we can offer the residents a smaller garbage receptacle placed out by the curb, but allow them to have a larger recycle receptacle to maybe promote more recycling. But I think it was a package deal. I don't know if there's any information about that, because I think it's got to do both in order to qualify for the reduction.
We can certainly look at that. And we have noticed that the recycling bins that that the people are using now are full. We don't see a lot of additional containers next to the bins for recycling, but we'd be happy to look at that because your garbage rate's going down. The more people can, the less they can put in that garbage container, the more they're putting in recycling. The one caution I always have with that is that we want to make sure that people aren't putting the wrong things in the recycling, because we want to, the contamination rate's about an average of 20% now. We want to get that down to the 8 or 9 that we saw in 2008 or 2009. It makes all the processing of the commodities much more valuable.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Any other questions from aldermen in Zoom land? Now I'll go to the alderman here and myself, and if you all have questions later, we'll circle back to you. Mr. Funkhauser has multiple questions, I'm sure.
Not multiple.
I do.
You did mention the contamination and the increase on that. How much of our recycling, it shows about 200, 250 tons is what's going in. How much of it's rejected due to contamination?
I'm sorry, Alderman, I can't hear you. I didn't understand. I apologize.
The question was, how much of our recycling is rejected due to contamination?
Approximately 20%.
And did you say that's a high number or a low number?
If I could clarify that, Alderman, it's not rejected at the facility. It actually goes through the process and it's discarded as a contaminant. So we don't have loads that are rejected at there. We just have a contamination rate of about 20%, if that's what you're asking.
Yes, Mike. The question and the point was that it's contaminated, so it is not recycled. I assume it goes then to a landfill or other facility, correct?
It would go to a landfill.
Okay. So that's something, this information on the proper recycling is important so that we can reduce that number from 20% down to what would be a more appropriate standard.
And
we can work with the larger bin and education of the community, that would be very helpful.
I agree. Did you have other questions, Mr. Funkhauser?
No, thank you.
Well, being the mayor, I'm allowed to ask questions, and I love to ask questions, which they're all learned. So I have a few for you, Mr. Pfister. Are you related to Ralph Pfister here in Yorkville?
No, I'm not.
Okay, that had nothing to do with anything, but there's Pfisters here in town. Okay, so the no pizza and donut boxes, is that because they're contaminated, or is that type of cardboard not good for recycling?
Good question.
You know, it is actually the contamination of the pizza and the that is stuck to the boxes. That material is a contaminant when it comes into the processing facility. They do not want the food products. And it's the same with the donut boxes. They have the sugar from the tops of the donuts that are normally stuck to the top. But it does not have anything to do with the type of cardboard or the makeup of the boxes at all. If they're not contaminated, they don't have cheese or that, you know, they would be able to be recycled. But you know, as a rule, because there's always the cheese on there, pizza boxes aren't accepted.
Okay, well, I feel better because I just threw away a box yesterday and I looked and it was clean. And I can assure you, there's no cheese left over in my household. I picked every morsel of that off, so that's good. The next thing I have is this, and I think one of the aldermen asked if we could share this in social media, but I was wondering, could you all do a mailer to our residents too with like one of those nice cardboard mailers or something? That would really be awesome if you could.
Okay, I'll definitely discuss that with Bart and Aaron.
Okay, and yeah,
something like that.
As one of the aldermen pointed out, something recyclable too. So something we don't have to just throw out. Okay, and then the next thing is very interesting. So for the last 3.5 years, the trend is lower refuse from Yorkville. So, and I think you hit on that. So when our contract's up, that should lead to lower prices for us. Is that correct?
Yeah. As one of the components of pricing is actually disposal of refuse.
Yeah, because there's a tonnage dump fee. So okay, good. Well, that's excellent. This is very helpful for me, and it might be helpful to the residents if they know the less we throw away. Now I don't want them to litter, but the less we throw away, it can help lower our rates too. So that's awesome. Okay, other questions from the aldermen. Or do any department heads have any questions as well? No? Well, Mr. Pfister, thank you very much, and I know you're in contact with Bart and Aaron. I just want to tell you one other thing, too. I've had a couple residents send me emails on some concerns they had, and I shot emails back to your company, and they responded right away, so I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'll pass that along. I appreciate you.
Thank you for your time. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. So I think that's all for the meeting tonight, right? Nope. Wishful thinking. Okay. That was actually very interesting. I know it's not what y'all want to hear, but I really like recycling. Okay, now I will open the public hearing for Rebuild Illinois, a shovel-ready site grant program, the East Alley Utility Work. And Bart, did you say you have a couple slide presentation on this?
Aaron has comments prepared.
I'm sorry, Aaron, because I haven't had you on my notes that you're the one who's supposed to talk about this. I slided there. Aaron, I apologize. Please take over.
No problem. So this evening there is no PowerPoint presentation, but we do need to cover just a few items regarding the project to meet the criteria of the grant program. So the amount of funds available for the project, the city is seeking a full grant for this project with no local funds being used. So we are looking for $895,350 for this project. The project consists of water main replacement, sanitary rehabilitation, and electrical lines that will be buried all in the 200 block of the alley east of Illinois Route 47 in the city of Yorkville. No additional project activities will be undertaken with additional project funding. So what I just read off, the water main, sanitary rehabilitation, and electrical lines will be the only work undertaken with this grant money. No displacement of residents will take place during the construction of this project. This project aligns with the goals of the City of Yorkville's comprehensive plan. This comprehensive plan was the winner of the 2017 Illinois American Planning Association Daniel Burnham Plan Award. The plan encourages the revitalization of the city's downtown through the enhancement of utility upgrades to spur infill development and economic investment. And that is certainly what we hope will occur with these upgrades to this infrastructure in this East Alley. The East Alley project boards the near-term and long-term interventions proposed in the streetscape master plan for the areas between Hydraulic Street, Van Emmon Street, and Bridge Street. This includes rear building facade improvements, creation of an outdoor dining seating area, burying of overhead utilities, and restriping of the public parking lot for the businesses that abut the East Alley project area. Adjacent development to the project area includes potential commercial and mixed-use residential development. The East Alley project area is located in the city's downtown, which has its historic commercial core surrounded by a diversity of housing types, including single-family, multifamily, and townhomes within a traditional neighborhood layout. The majority of the costs of this project are construction, with minimal costs going towards design engineering and construction management and oversight. This project is located within the city's downtown TIF district, and various properties adjacent or nearby this project are eligible for TIF funding through approved redevelopment plans. This project lays a foundation for long-term growth in Yorkville's downtown redevelopment by providing needed utility infrastructure upgrades in an area experiencing regional investments, such as roadway improvements. Also nearby is the Marge Klein Water Course, which is a state of Illinois recreational facility which offers rafting, canoeing, kayaking, chutes, and two water sporting activities. This, along with city parks and downtown restaurant, brings a host of residents and tourists to the downtown area. The impact on community finances is restricted because we are requesting the full project amount to be funded by the grant dollars through the DCEO. If anybody has any further questions or comments, I would open them up to the aldermen as well as any residents or public at this point.
Do any aldermen have any questions? Jackie, were you raising your hand? No?
No.
Okay. No questions from the aldermen. Any questions from the public? Seeing no questions, I will close the public hearing. Thank you very much. Thank you, Aaron. Very nice job. Okay. Are there citizen comments on the agenda? Or on agenda items, I should say. I hear none. Well, look, we have a consent agenda item tonight. And there's one item. We could make the motion to approve the consent agenda or that item, but it's a consent agenda item. So is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as listed?
So moved.
By Plocher and Funkhauser. You were a third, Milshewski, sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. I presume there'll be no discussion on this. Okay, a roll call, please. Thank you.
Polk?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Charulas?
Yes.
Transia?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And my mistake, I should have added the minutes to the consent agenda. Okay, we have minutes of the regular city council meeting from July 14th, 2020. Ms. Milshewski, would you like to make a motion to approve?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from the July 14th, 2020 city council.
Thank you.
Second.
That was by Mr. Peterson. Any corrections? Changes? Hearing none, roll call please.
Polk?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Charulas?
Yes.
Transia?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have bill list for FY20 vendors of $15,985.09. That's getting really small. FY21 vendors, $1,024,766.64. Now, contrary, that's getting big. Payroll for $296,707.45 for a total of $1,337,459.18. Mr. Plocher, did I hear you make a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
I think I heard Coke, Mr. Coke. Okay. We will need a roll call on this, please.
Coke?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Charulas?
Yes.
Transia?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. I have a question for the attorney, or maybe it's for the clerk. Can the bills and the minutes be put under the consent agenda?
Yes.
Let's do that for the next meeting, please.
Yes.
Woohoo!
Hey, there's some good every day.
Make sure that's noted in the minutes.
And how about the minutes, too?
Oh, I thought I said the minutes.
Okay,
the minutes
so
and the bills.
Consent agenda, bills, and minutes.
Yeah, well, consent agenda isn't there if there's nothing under it. So, anyway, please note that. Okay, but now the mayor's report, that is always a special report. So we first of all had the presentation on the recycling, and I appreciate that. It's very interesting. But I do have, and I got a list here. Yes. I have several appointments to boards and commissions. So I will read them and then ask for a motion to approve, followed by a second and a roll call vote. Okay. Bob Johnson to the Board of Fire and Police Commission to a term ending May 2023. Ruben Rodriguez to the Board of Fire and Police Commission to a term ending May 2021. Darren Crawford to the Library Board to a term ending May 2023. Theron Garcia, I always struggle with her. I got to ask her, how does she pronounce her first name? Theron?
Theron.
Theron, and I know her too, I'm terrible at that. I apologize, Theron. Theron Garcia to the Library Board to a term ending May 2023. Greg Millen to the Planning and Zoning Commission to a term ending May 2024. Jeff Bergner to the Police Pension Fund Board to a term ending May 2021. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
Mr. Koch and Mr. Peterson. Now, before we have a vote, I guess I should ask if there's any questions. Are there any questions, comments? Okay, now I will offer something. So, One thing I always do, because there's a couple I still need to appoint. I didn't appoint this while we were doing the Zoom meetings before, but now it's just time to move on. But I make a point to call each and every one of these individuals, whether the reappointment or appointment, to ask if they're interested, and obviously these people were still interested. And I also thank them, because these appointments, and I know we don't always agree sometimes with what the different boards do, but they are thankless jobs, and these people do put their heart and soul into it. So I appreciate the support for these folks. Hearing no discussion besides myself, we'll do a roll call, please.
Olszewski?
Yes.
Bunkhauser?
Yes.
Cerulis?
Yes.
Transio?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Hope?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Awesome, thank you. Woo-hoo. I get to pass this meeting over. Public Works Committee report. You got a lot going on, Mr. Clocher. You want to take a drink of water first?
No, I'm good right this second.
You'd have to get a different bottle. I can't share mine.
No, okay. PW 2020-42. Motion to approve an ordinance approving a plat of an easement, Kendall Marketplace, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
By Mr. Koch. So I did ask. I'm going to ask Christy, but did Brad answer this, or did Brad pass this to Christy?
Brad.
This is a Brad one, right? Was this a Brad one?
Yeah.
Brad, please explain briefly. I can't hear you. Brad, are you talking?
Yes, I believe it's Mike.
Okay, well, here, I'll sum this up, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. So there were some easements that some of these utilities don't need anymore, and we're just cleaning up the plat. And I'm told by the attorney and the engineer, while this isn't an everyday occurrence, this is not completely uncommon. So that's what this is. Any questions? You should just all listen to me on everything. That's fantastic. Okay, roll call, please.
Yes.
Cerulis?
Yes.
Transia?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Hope?
Yes.
Olszewski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Fantastic. Please continue.
A motion to PW 2020-43, a motion to approve an MFT resolution for 2020 striping program and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second? Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Funkhauser.
Second.
Oops, sorry. Mr. Funkhauser got to it first. I appreciate the support and enthusiasm, though. Okay, so I don't think Brad can talk about this because he's not working right now. I don't mean he's not working, his mute is working well, apparently. So my understanding is the estimated amount for this program will be about $25,000 for the actual striping, and the actual approval of the striping, this is just to get the resolution to the state. We're expecting a September of approval of this, and the work will be done quickly thereafter because it needs to be done by mid-October. Eric, is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Thanks. Okay, any questions from the Alderman? Roll call, please.
Cerulis?
Yes.
Transia?
Yes.
Clocher?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Olszewski?
Yes.
Bunkhauser?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Continue, Mr. Clocher.
TW 2020-4, a motion to approve a professional service agreement, designs, construction, engineering for Beaver Street pumps, station improvements, authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
Olszewski, Ms. Olszewski, very nice. Okay, My understanding on this is the engineering agreement's approximately $30,000, and this is for the backup generator, which will be approximately $400,000. Is that our estimate?
Probably close to that, maybe a little higher.
Okay, 455, something like that?
Yeah, I believe is what it is, 460, I believe.
Okay, but we'll actually vote on that amount too, correct?
Correct. This is just for the engineering agreement. This will just allow us to go to the to have a design.
Excellent.
Point of clarification.
Yes, Mr. Funkhauser. Mr. Olson.
The design contract is $47,762.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I don't know where I got that number from. Sorry. It's about $48,000. I probably notes from another meeting. I apologize. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Okay, other questions, comments, or corrections? I see a hand. Is that Milshewski?
If my memory serves me well, weren't we supposed to be doing something at the rain tree?
Yes, Eric, please.
But what exactly happened with that? Because that was a lot of money.
It ended up being far more money than was originally anticipated due to the age of the equipment that was put in there when we built the treatment plant. And just to run all the new equipment and the new generator, in EEI's estimation, was going to be close to $1 million.
And we never caught that? I mean, isn't that one of our newer water towers?
No, the water tower, I mean, they're 15 years old. And the gear that was put in there is already obsolete.
Okay.
We didn't put the generator in there when we built it. We had always put it in later, and now that it's later, it's the equipment is obsolete.
So it was prepped for a generator, but because we waited too long, for whatever reason, we can't get a generator that will work there now.
We can't.
Sum it up?
It's just far more money. So what we did is we kind of fell back a little bit and said, if we can get a generator at the Beaver Street booster station, we can still fill both south towers if the power is out there for a long extended period of time. And this should come in much closer to our original estimate at about $450,000.
Okay, thank you.
Good question, real good question. Other questions? Mr. Transier.
Eric, will this then eliminate the necessity of trying to have to put in a backup generator at the Rain Tree station? This will take care of
that is our every intention, is that this will be the backup generator down in that side of town.
Excellent. Now, I was confused too. Other questions? We'll do a roll call, please.
Transier?
Yes.
Bolcher?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Polk?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Charulas?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice, thank you. Please continue, Mr. Plocher.
PW 2020-45. A motion to approve a resolution in support of the Wayland Mayor's challenge for water conservation and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Okay, Mr. Transier. Mr. Transier had the second there. Okay, as you can see, this is an errant thing. Well, you can't see that. My notes say it's an errant thing. But we're all about conservation. We're talking about recycling, saving water. Next, we're going to talk about a sod ban, but that's probably next year. Anyway, Aaron, what do you have on this?
So this is the third year we are participating in this program. Yorkville has, in the population category, ranked in the top 20 towns and municipalities in the nation the last 2 years, so we hope to keep that streak going. It is historically run during Earth Month, which is April. This year, due to the pandemic, they are bumping it back to August, which is Water Month. So we will be putting out some information on social media. We will be putting out press releases regarding this. the fun thing is, if you do it with your family, you do it with your friends, and you learn tidbits when you go in to mywaterpledge.com, you pledge to do better conservation efforts, whether it be turning off the faucet while you're brushing your teeth, or turning off the lights when you leave a room to save energy. There's a ton of different things that we can do if we're just more cognizant and more aware of our footprint every day on the earth. So that's really what this is all about. It's just an educational campaign for our residents to help make your world a better place.
Thank you. Questions for Aaron? Mr. Funkhauser, imagine.
In committee was discussed that there's no big grand prize on this one this year. It's a little different. It's more just participate and see how well we can do. And the question was raised, was there any opportunity to do some type of a local prize for those? And then we were going to check and see if there was individual results for a community. Did we get any response on that, whether we can get that information?
So there are several prizes that a resident can win. They can receive money that would go directly to their utility payments. So you can win up to $3,000 off your utility bill per year. You can also win several different environmentally friendly products that they are offering that are sponsors through this program. And then a lucky winner will receive a car. It's a Toyota car that will go to the charity or municipality of that person's choice. So, but we can certainly look into other local sponsors in the future. I think that would be a great effort that we could do going forward.
That'd be good if there's an opportunity for that.
I like that idea, Mr. Funkhauser. And Mr. Funkhauser, for example, if you wanted to and you won the Toyota, you could make Mr. Plocher your charity. So, excellent. This is fantastic. So this is important because, as all of you know, or should know, we're going to have to make some decisions on long-term water sourcing. Eventually our wells are going to not be able to supply Yorkville, and we'll probably have to make a choice of river water or Lake Michigan water. But the less we use, especially if we go to Lake Michigan route, the less we use, the less it'll cost because there's a direct fee to pay someone else for that water. So this is good practice now. Aaron, thank you very much. You're on a roll tonight, Aaron. And you are too, Mr. Plocher. Why don't you continue?
Both of these are for discussion.
That's right. And I think this is Aaron as well.
We didn't vote on that one.
Jeez. Well, we need a roll call. I'm jumping ahead. I'm so excited about conservation. Okay, roll call, please.
Plocher?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Moschewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Tarulas?
Yeah.
Chancier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
So I don't need to make a motion, correct?
For number five, yes, discussion only. And I think Erin was leading the charge on this. She did a lot of it already in the public hearing. But Erin, do you have anything else you want to add on this? Maybe the Elderman Road one in particular?
Yes. So we are moving forward with the East Alley project. We will be coming back at the next city council meeting with a resolution of support only. It won't be a resolution for local funding because we are not requesting any local funds to go towards the shovel-ready East Alley project site. However, moving forward with the El Domain, the project, the grant cap is $2 million. The project is over $2 million, so we will have to have a commitment of local funds. So in looking in how our budget is looking in the future, the project is over $4 million, so we would need to request from the City Council support of intention to go out to bond for those additional funds if we do get the grant. Kathy has reviewed it, and we believe that we can move forward without going out for bond, but with the intent to go out for bond if the city chooses to do so if we receive the grant. And this is for the El Domain project, which extends the water main out to El Domain and then loops around in the industrial corridor there. So we will be moving forward with that in the future, and we'll be coming back with a public hearing at the next city council meeting, as well as a resolution for support of local funds.
Thank you. Questions for Aaron? I hear none, and I see no hands. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you very much. Mr. Plocher, continue.
Last but not least, PW 2020-47. Make a motion to approve an ordinance amending Title 7, Chapter 6 of the Yorkville City Code, Sewer Ordinance, and authorizing the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Is there a second? Let me try this again. Is there a second?
Second.
You already killed me once with no second. Come on now. Okay, I heard actually Mr. Funkhauser before I heard Ms. Walshewski. Okay.
But we'll scare you.
Eric, were you going to explain this one?
Yes. What, is there any specific questions?
Well, the question I had earlier is, is this going to impose any new costs or regulations on users, or is this just updating what we have in place?
This is strictly updating what we have in place. The only costs that are referenced in here is essentially our tap-on fees that we updated to reflect the fees that we have been charging the builders that just haven't been updated in our code book. What this really did was just update our procedures and policies regarding, you know, the type of pipe used and that kind of thing that will reflect the current building codes.
Excellent. Thank you. Questions or comments?
Awesome.
Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Yes.
Hope?
Yes.
Walshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Chiroulis?
Yes.
Tanzier?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Plocher, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good.
Everyone check out Mr. Plocher's mask. That's fantastic. Okay, Economic Development Committee, do we have anything?
No report.
Anything you want to add?
No.
Okay.
All's good.
Excellent. Siever, do you have anything for the Public Safety Committee report?
No report.
Siever, it's good to hear your voice. And your laugh, too. That's awesome. Admin Committee, don't have a whole lot going on there. Mr. Funkhauser?
All right. Make a motion to approve a resolution ratifying a master contract by and between WITC and InterDev LLC and authorize the mayor and the city clerk to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
By Walshewski. Bart, you want to give a quick synopsis of this, please?
I do. This is a ratification of a contract between the city and InterDev, which is our IT provider. The city has technically already legally approved this through our participation in the Intergovernmental Agreement and IT Consortium GovITC. This moves us away from an hour-based contract to a performance-based contract that will be administered by the five or six municipalities in the consortium. And it will include things like penalties and standards for communication, resolution, and other items. The base level of the contract is going to be reduced to the city by about $20,000 annually. However, the scope will require more special contracts on a one-off basis, depending on how often we replace computers or network equipment and other things. But overall, it is a better, more technically sound contract for the city, and now we will all be on the same contract with our consortium partners in GovITC.
Excellent, thank you. Questions for Mr. Olson?
Got one question.
Mr. Koch?
Yeah, does this, the website, is that tied into this too or not?
It is not.
Other questions? Hearing none, seeing none. Roll call, please.
Hope?
Yes.
Walshewski?
Yes.
Von Lanzier?
Yes.
Fulcher?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Moving along, item two, Mr. Funkhauser.
All right, this is the ordinance regarding city council procedures. This is a first reading. This came out of committee to the council for discussion and is here for that purpose. There is a lengthy memo in the packet that Mark prepared. So, welcome for discussion.
So, Mr. Funkhauser, you are the author of these changes, correct?
Correct.
So, do you want to speak to them at all?
Sure, I can briefly go through on top of what Mark did. A lot of this is just procedural in terms of what we've seen over the years since I've been out here and seeing some of the goings on from prior. Some of them are minor in terms of what they do to the actual procedural ordinance. Some of them change some structural components. I know there was some question on things such as the city council agenda for the mayor's report. I have no issue striking that one from the consideration, but some of these are just trying to be efficient with what we do, clarifying some items that we don't have clarified, and just trying to make our process a little better, a little clearer.
Excellent. Bart, did you want to hit on anything? I know you put a nice summary together.
Sure, there's...
And let me back up just one, and this is not a criticism, just so everyone's aware. This was first discussed in committee last week, correct? Last week, week before, I think it was last week. I'm losing track. So, a lot of us haven't seen this. I saw it in an email on my phone, and... Just so everyone's aware, there's going to be a lot of discussion on this. We're not looking to have a vote, as Mr. Funkhauser said tonight, and Bart had some items he wanted to discuss as well. Thank you.
Yeah, I think the two biggest components, which I raised at the admin committee meeting, involve how things get added to an agenda, which don't happen very frequently. But when they do, it's usually on an important item that the city council and the mayor are discussing. So special city council meetings can be called by either the mayor or any three aldermen. And so when you call a special city council agenda, you are allowed to set the agenda unilaterally. So the underlying theory then is that the mayor can add anything to an agenda and that any three aldermen So the proposal that's in place, which Alderman Funkhauser had mentioned, would limit the authority of the mayor to add something to the agenda, but for concurrence from the committee chair on that agenda item. And then it would also change the number of aldermen that can add something to an agenda from 4 to 3, which would be okay under city law or state law. And it would be 4 had been in place for a few years. By city council agreement. So those are the two things that I raised that were kind of related to state law. There are some additional things in there that the attorney had raised regards to control of the meeting, recognizing people that attend that want to speak. She felt was in opposition potentially to just the underlying premise that the mayor is there and controls the meeting. And everything else in there is really just how the city council is a group wants to meet, discuss, set agendas, and control the flow of agenda items from meeting to meeting. And so I opined at the committee meeting that I didn't think that was an issue for staff to weigh in as much as it was for the city council to discuss, acknowledge what the proposals are, and then come to some sort of understanding.
There was one other item that I thought...
I don't think there's a camera on you, is there? Here, let me slide over.
Hey, they don't need to look at me.
Come on over here.
Good thing I washed my face. The other thing that... the one thing was suggested that nothing would come to the city council without an affirmative vote of 3 members of a committee. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that really violates the law, in that any matter should come to the city council. You're giving control over a matter to less than a majority, a simple majority, so that you, instead of requiring 5 votes to get anything done, you're immediately eliminating it by 3 votes. And I think that is subject to legal question.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Okay, Bart, did you have anything else, or that?
I did not.
Okay, I have lots and lots of thoughts and questions, but I'm not the only one, since many of you just want to delve into this now. So, anyone have questions, raise your hand. Mr. Transier, please.
Kathy, in the memo, it's noted that you'll find that some of the changes might not survive a court challenge. Is it because the way the changes are worded, or is it because of what the changes would affect you?
I think the one I just mentioned would not make a court survive a court challenge, because you're giving too much power and control in even less than a quorum of the city council. So that would be, where is it in the law that 3 members of our city council would have the right to eliminate discussion of any particular item?
The wording of it, it's the end result.
Correct, I think it's the concept, the entire concept. Another one, which is so simple, but I did check out state statute, and state statute says, as does Robert's Rule, is the mayor presides. And when you're presiding, you determine who to call upon, who not to call upon. And this is a simpler point, but I do point out to you it's specific in state statute or as well as Robert Rules. And I think there was a suggestion that at the request of 2 aldermen that anyone who wants to address the city council may have the right to address the city council. And I think that's where those kinds of rules are subject to question, because you're taking away from the power of the presiding officer, whomever that is, in committee two. Does that answer you? Those are the two that I thought could not survive.
Thank you, Kathy.
While on those 2 items.
Sure, Mr. Funkhauser.
So on the one about coming out of committee, if that language were to be reworded such that the requirement is such that there is a recommendation, positive or negative, because right now there is no requirement that stipulates you have to make a recommendation. It can just pass through the committee to the council, as did this item. Is there a way that we can word it such that it is intended to have a positive or, I guess it would be 3 options, a positive recommendation, a negative recommendation, or a first read to city council. Some way to have a committee.
You could mandate, for example, we have a planning commission. When a matter comes before the planning commission, they have to vote it up or down, but it doesn't die there. And if that's what you're asking, I think that's possible to have a rule that every item on an agenda of a committee must be voted up or down. And he's making fun of my hands, because I talk with my hands. I am Italian, we all know this. Okay, so I think that makes a lot of sense if that's what you're looking for, so that nothing comes to the city council without knowing the position of the committee.
That would be.
We can rewrite that if that's to the preference of the members of the city council.
That would, for me, that would be.
That's what you're looking for.
That would accommodate the objective overall for myself and I. And then the other that you commented on, Kathy, was the point of discussion for the mayor. I have no issue with that if that's something that's by the rules, we'd be creating...
It's what I'm worried about.
So that one, and that goes to the point of the mayor's report type of ad items to a special, I mean, I'd be so inclined to say strike those from the discussion at this point so that we eliminate those quickly from that, from any type of issue and modify them all.
Okay.
Other questions or comments? So I have a few thoughts. And obviously this needs to be, if we're going to vote on it, we need to tweak it some. One of the thoughts, that, in fact, I think we have in place now, there should be one alderman per ward, per committee. I don't have a real problem with that, but I've seen in my past experience, and I can't say it's here, everyone here does their part, but I've seen in my past experience as an elected official, sometimes people just don't participate. And you could set yourself up to running into, we want to have somebody from each ward on a committee, and you might have a couple people just say, I don't really care. So just something to consider. If you want to stick with that, I don't care either way, but just, I've seen it out of experience. So that's something. I think Mr. Funkhauser, you also said the idea of the mayor having to run something through a committee chair. You're okay with striking that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
that would be very cumbersome. Yeah. The other thing is, and again, some of these, I have some mixed feelings on. I understand the concept of having a committee's purview be limited or listed is you know, four or five different bullet points. But I don't think we should limit committees who don't have those listed items from discussing an item. So if you want to have the admin committee should be A, B, C, and D, and have the catch-all and other items, you know, that appear on the agenda, however you want to phrase it. I don't have a problem with it, because there might be an item that makes sense for two different committees, or there might be an item that no one even thought of, and it's got to go to a committee. So if you want to define it, that's fine, but you still, in my opinion, need that catch-all. So I'm still reviewing this. I had a chance to look at it on vacation between swimming and enjoying things. So those are my initial thoughts. I would entertain other thoughts from other aldermen. Ms. Milshewski.
To add on to your comment, Kai, about one alderman being, so that the committees are equal, like we have them now. In the past, under another administration, that was not the case. And so, like, one of the instances was Economic Development Committee. There was no representation from Ward 2 on there. And there's a lot of things that fall, you know, the downtown and the like in Ward 2. And the people there did not have representation because neither alderman was on the committee. So I kind of support that it's nice that it's an equal spread. There's four committee chairs, and we have four wards, one from each ward. I just, in the past, I know that was kind of, you know, you got left out of things on some stuff that, especially, and you know, that was a good instance on economic development.
Okay, no, that's a fair comment. Other comments?
I just support that.
Okay, other comments? Yeah, Kathy, I'm going to play the musical chair.
I am making a comment. We were here, Alderman Funkhauser, and many of us, Jackie, you were here, when we didn't have items on the agenda separated from general items. And right now, we seem to be well organized, but we have experienced situations where it was just the opposite and you weren't allowed even an hour to have an hour on comments that aren't in front of the council takes away an hour of the issues you really must address. I also must tell you that the practice that has been utilized in Yorkville is the practice that, curiously enough, has now been adopted by many, many municipalities. I would even venture a majority. I know at all the council meetings that I attend, which are a lot, so that as much as it sounds like you're being polite, you may wind up like we did several years ago. So I wish the board, those of you on the city council, remember that. Think about some very, very difficult evenings. You were here, you remember.
Oh, I do.
Did I hear a voice, or was that just a comment? I'm hearing voices.
No, I just commented that I agree with Kathy. I do remember those nights.
So is that referencing the point where any member of the public can speak at the beginning of the agenda?
Yes.
Okay, I like the way it is now, where you speak on items on the agenda, and the end we have open discussion for somebody who wants to discuss whatever. So, well, here's what I would ask. Well, first of all, before I go this direction, any other comments or questions? Okay, here's what I would ask then. Everyone again, since some of you are just seeing this in the last few days, in fact, most of us are just seeing the last few days, take a look at it some more. If you got some thoughts, we can tweak it some more. We're definitely going to tweak it some.
Thank you.
And we'll bring it back for another first discussion of the second read or the whatever. We're going to have a modified first reading is what we're going to have. We'll bring this back. We'll tweak it. There's some things maybe that make sense, and there's some things we found out probably our attorney even tells us we shouldn't do. So if you have thoughts on it, shoot an email to Bart or whoever. Send it to Bart, not me. I mean, if you want to copy me, that's fine. But don't make me your point person, because stuff gets lost if that's the case. So, excellent. Well, thank you. Good discussion. I wasn't sure how long that would go. That went pretty darn well. Okay, Mr. Funkhauser, you have some other exciting things.
Yes. I'll make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the Yorkville City Code, File 1, Chapter 7, Section 3, Contracts and Purchases, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second by Mr. Peterson. And I will not call a point of order, but we skip number 3, Mr. Funkhauser. But go ahead with this motion. We'll circle back. You're trying to steal Rob's thunder.
I was on the motions list.
Yeah. You're the first one to do right. Me, so I'm going to get you back. Okay. Who seconded that? I don't remember now. Okay. So any questions, comments on this? Carrie, where are you at? There you are.
Hi.
Give us a couple quick synopsis points, please. Bullet points.
Bullet points. Okay, so the intent to this to open up some transparency for potential vendors. So we have full information on our procurement process within the city. So to sum it up, we remove some repetitive language throughout the code and remove some administrative processes. Administrative processes are like our day-to-day procedures. Those will be outlined in a future manual that I'll be bringing to the admin committee later this year. We defined the bidding process. We added the electronic process for bidding. This came about during COVID-19. A lot of people are working from home. We're all joining this remotely. So the electronic process will allow us moving forward to allow electronic bids to be submitted through a third-party portal, as well as have the opportunity to even hold virtual bid openings if needed as well. So this kind of brings everything to a paperless society, so we're trying to be more efficient. We also added language for bid cancellations, bonding requirements, change orders, and bid protests. So all of this information in one place or another was somewhat mentioned in the code to a certain extent, but this just expanded it a little bit more to provide the vendor with more information on what is expected of them should they do business with the city. These changes are in line, in fact they're identical to what I have implemented in Oswego, so this will increase my efficiency for working with both municipalities. So in the agenda packet is the red line code, as well as in the memo, so I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? No questions? Roll call, please. Thank you, Carrie.
Chalulis?
Yes.
Canzia?
Yes.
Fulcher?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Bunkhauser?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And now, we're going to go back to number three.
I intended to save this informational item because it's a good bit of information. So the FY 2020-49 fourth quarter budget review, fiscal year 2020. I believe this is Rob. Rob gave a very nice update in committee about the fourth quarter and how we did it. So we'll put it on the agenda item as compared to the consent because we want to hear a couple points from Rob directly.
Yeah, this is the fourth quarter budget review for fiscal year 2020. The numbers shown in the table are where we are at on the cash basis as of April 30th. And then in the narration, I hope to describe the audit accrual process and also give my projection once the audit accrual process has been applied for the various operating funds that we have in the city. So really, so far, so good, I guess, is a story for the general fund for fiscal year end of 2020. Still, most of our revenue streams have been pretty resilient this far, despite of the pandemic. Sales tax is predicted to finish about $3.2 million, which is a 5% increase year over year, which is an extremely strong increase in sales tax, good to see. Non-home rule sales tax should finish around $2.4 million, which is up by about 2% over last year. And local use, after increasing about 20% last year, is going to be another 15% for FY20. To finish right around $665,000. Income tax, unfortunately, is down, but only about 5%, which is certainly better than we anticipated. Before the pandemic, actually, income tax was starting to track up. I know at one time I now had it at $107 per capita, which would put us over the $2 million mark. But it looks like we're going to finish about $1.87 million for income tax for FY20, or about $98 per capita. So, all in all, the general fund should have total revenue of about $16.6 million, total expenditures around $15.9 million, which puts our surplus right around the $630,000 mark, estimated at this point. So that'll put fund balance north of $7.5 million, which is the highest it's ever been that I've been able to find in the city's history, or 47% of total general fund expenditures. However, when you include the TIFs, which are about another $2.5 million in negative fund equity, that puts us right around $5 million, or 32% of fund balance. Just to cover some of the other funds very briefly, looking at the water fund, water sales, we initially budgeted over $3.2 million. We had a very wet spring and summer, so usage was down. So that number is going to be closer to $3 million. So it's about $190,000 budgetary shortfall. But the good news is that shortfall will be offset because when taking an aggregate, the water meter infrastructure fees and connection fees for the water fund are about $190,000 over budget. So they'll cancel out. So total for the water fund will be about $4.7 million. Expenses in the water fund are going to come in a little over $5 million, which is about $750,000 below budget. A lot of it has to do with the deferring of capital projects, namely the Well 7 rehab, and then the Raintree Booster Station, which has been deferred, and not going to be the Beaver Street Station that we talked about. But all in all, we should finish with a deficit of around $300,000 instead of the $1.1 million deficit that we budgeted in the water fund. So fund balance equipment sleeve will end about $3.2 million in the water fund at fiscal year end 20. And then just real quick, with Park and Rec, obviously of all the funds, Park and Rec has probably been the most pandemic, just due to the very most recreational activities. So revenues will be down about $130,000 compared to the revenue budget in the Park and Rec.
Questions or comments for Rob? Rob, thank you. It was a strong finish to the year. And that'll help us this year until things, level off a little bit. So thank you very much. Mr. Funkhauser, anything else?
That's it for the end of your report.
Thank you. Good report. Park Board, no report. We have something later. Not about the Park Board. Planning and Zoning Commission, anything?
No report.
Excellent. City Council report. Any City Council members have any reports or items? Peterson, are you raising your hand or scratching your neck?
Scratching.
Okay. Check. Okay, no reports for the City Council. City Clerk. Lisa, you usually have a bundle of things.
No report tonight.
Thank you. Community and Liaison reports. Here, oh, Mr. Funkhauser does. I apologize, please.
So the Aurora Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, when the pandemic started, we took some steps to tighten up the budget pretty closely. We knew that there was going to be some reductions in the grant allocation from the LTCB, which we had anticipated a 40% cut, so we made adjustments to the budget. With that being said, that's a cut of $180,000 from our funding that we received. The actual cut ended up being 45%. However, what the state did do is they changed the requirements for the allocation for staffing. So what it does for us is it allows us to utilize the money more towards staffing and other uses as compared to just marketing. So, even though it's a larger cut than we expected, the organization is able to move monies around more fluidly, and actually we're in a pretty stable position with our cash reserves for the organization, cutting some programming that we had intended and scaling back some of the promotions. One in particular, the marketing book that we put together, having the foresight to not date that book has allowed us to actually use it for 2 years. So we're going to save $30,000 plus the shipping on that. So it's really around $60,000.
That's good.
Just on that. So we've been able to strategically work with the cuts that the state has given us. That's it.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Munkhauser. Other community or liaison reports? I hear and I see none. Staff reports?
No reports.
No reports. Mayor's report continued. Lucky me. So, a couple things before we get to the agenda items. I know, Lynn, you've been very busy. If you have questions for Lynn on anything in particular, feel free to call her. And she's been busy. There's some activity going on. There's some interest in some projects downtown. I think you've got two or three interested projects. I don't want you in specifics, but isn't that correct? Is she even here? Oh, there you are. Just nod your head yes if I'm right. Excellent. I like that. Let me try that at home. Excellent. So anyway, thank you, Lynn. And Jim, I know KenCom's been busy, but we'll talk about that later. Anyway, so Jim and I have been talking about KenCom projects. How y'all doing out there? There's some people wanting to see. Did you want to come to the meeting? Oh yeah, we'll have somebody help you in just a moment. Sure. We had some visitors. I just wanted to give them some help. Okay. The next thing we have, and this next item requires 6 votes. And it's a resolution authorizing the purchase of one Roundmaster 4000D lawnmower from Reinders, not Reindeer, but Reinders, Inc. of Mundelein, Illinois, in the amount of $52,887.63. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Siebert to Rulis, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Plocher, and we'll talk about this so y'all understand what's going on. This just isn't something that we decided to do. This was planned for in the original budget, so this was budgeted for, and Tim can probably explain this better, but we are down a mower, and they put quite a bit of money into this mower to keep it going this year alone, and it's 13 years old. This is for the big areas, and if we approve this tonight, it'll still be, what, probably end of August before we get it? Tim, did I get anything right or wrong there?
No, you're correct, Mr. Your Honor.
Oh, I like that, Mr. Your Honor. That's even better. Yeah. And you, if this passes, you tell Sleaser we got this done, okay, while he was on vacation. So he's actually back. He's earned a well-deserved vacation. So questions or comments from Alderman? Mr. Funkhauser. And then, oh wait, I was pointing you there and there. You're in both spots here.
You said that this is the large mower, the little triple deck.
It's like a 10 footer, I believe.
Yeah, so it's like triple deck.
Tim, is that correct? It's about a 10 footer, 3-4 blade, something like that?
It goes up to 12 feet.
12 feet. Okay.
And it's one of two that we have. Well, one. We normally have two. This one, the one we have, is completely broken and unusable now, so we only have one to do all the large parks with.
Does that answer your question?
I think what he just said, that we had two, we're down one.
Correct.
I was going to ask, how are we doing with large fields now?
Yes.
So, okay, that clarifies it.
More slowly. That's how.
Since, yeah, and I will say I have noticed a change in the pattern on the mowing. As I have one of the large fields next to my neighborhood, I see that on a regular basis. So I did notice the timing is a little different and the quality is a little different. But this was budgeted, but we're confident and comfortable that with the cutbacks that we have, that this is, we're comfortable to do that.
I'm very comfortable. It's a, Rob, I'd like you to give any input you have wherever you disappeared to. There you are.
I'm here. And I'm comfortable with it.
Any other questions? Okay, other aldermen, any other questions? Okay, roll call, please.
Transier?
Yes.
Closure?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Hope?
Yes.
Wilshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Yes.
Cherulis?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. I didn't even have to vote. Fantastic. Tim, get that order right now.
Scott will first thing tomorrow morning. If not tonight, I just texted him.
That's funny. Okay. I have no additional business. Is there any additional business that I'm not aware of? Excellent. Are there any citizen comments on items that were not on the agenda? Okay, and we, wait, did I hear somebody say something?
Jake.
Oh, okay, here, just to answer the question that was raised so you're all on the same page. Mr. Chief Jensen asked if we approve the squad. We actually approved, what was it, two squad cars earlier in the year, and we're going to hold off on one until a point where we felt more comfortable, and along with the mower, Jim's getting a squad, and Eric's getting about, was it a $10,000 or $15,000 mower, Eric?
Just a touch over $10,000.
Yes. So, thank you, Jim, for pointing that out. Again, we feel comfortable with all these things. We're still not even close to what we budgeted for capital. But as things come up that we really feel we need, we want to get these ordered. And the squad has a 16 to 20 week lead time. So, but thank you. Okay, I did not hear, were there any citizen comments on items on the agenda? Or not on the agenda, I'm sorry. No? Executive session, as I promised you, we're not doing executive session right now. So, I'd look for a motion to adjourn.
Hello.
Okay, and I heard you all say yes. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Good job.
Thank you all. That went pretty smooth.
Yeah.